Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, titled The Baptism and Temptation of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attending him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Here ends the reading of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Here we have the basic Lent, paradigm, I guess. And now if you're thinking that you've heard this scripture recently, you're absolutely correct, because the first two verses, or first three verses, 9, 10, and 11 of what we just heard is the end of the scripture that was read on Baptism Lord Sunday, which was the 14th of January. So just about a month ago, more or less, we have that same scripture, and the key in that is a voice came from the heavens. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." One of the things to note about this, being a very Trinitarian denomination, is that in that one verse, we have all three of the Trinity represented. We have the voice coming from heavens, that's the Father. We have the Son, who's just come up out of the water. And we have, oops, verse 12 is the rest of it, the Spirit. The Spirit shows up. And in Mark's gospel, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. So there's a little bit of a conflict here. The voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased," and the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And this is not a gentle nudge. The language in Mark is such that this is fairly forceful. Along with verse 10, the heavens were torn apart, not just a gentle opening of the clouds or something like that. It's more like a ripping, more like the veil being torn in two at the crucifixion, sort of a preview of that event. So there's a certain amount of force involved here, and Jesus is driven out. Jesus, the beloved son, is driven out into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days. So he didn't have time to put together any camping gear, anything like that. He was sent out without any of his friends or relations. So he's out in the wilderness for 40 days. He's being tested by Satan. Now, that can't be a whole lot of fun. And again, Mark doesn't give a lot of details. This is typical of Mark. But he's tested by Satan. The tests aren't described, but we've read about them elsewhere. And he was with the wild beasts. And this is not like going to the zoo. The wild beasts are threatening. They may be dangerous. They may be cause for a human being who's in this situation to begin to be like them. It's not a great situation. This is not a nice camping trip. And it's this 40 days that gives us the basis for Lent, because Lent is 40 days. Now, if you count the days between Ash Wednesday, which is always the first day of Lent, and Easter Saturday, which is always the last day of Lent, you're going to get more than 40. And that's because the Sundays don't count. So, just so you know, Sundays are not part of Lent. That's why we have Sundays in Lent. So we have this 40-day period. And that's the time that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Mark doesn't say anything about fasting. That got mentioned earlier, and that's something that comes up during Lent. One of the things that often happens during Lent is that we eat fish on Fridays because fish is not meat. To me, it's meat, but fish is apparently, liturgically speaking, not meat. And so we can eat fish on Fridays and not have our steak or whatever. And that's the fasting part of it. And Friday is chosen because of Good Friday, working backwards from Good Friday. Friday is a day for fasting because that's the day that Jesus was crucified, the day of the week. So what is this experience of Jesus that gives us the basis for Lent mean for us? We are not going to be driven into the wilderness, most likely, in any literal sense, if we choose to make fasting one of our Lent disciplines. We are not going to successfully fast for 40 days. And some of the other accounts are very clear on the fact that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He had nothing to eat, nothing to drink during that time. Now, an ordinary human being cannot survive that, but Jesus did. So that is definitely not recommended. So we're not going to be driven into a literal wilderness with wild beasts. We're not likely to fast. We may or may not be tested by Satan, and we may or may not recognize that. It certainly would not be the same kind of tests that are described in the other gospel accounts. So if we generalize a little bit, think about the experience of being in the wilderness, meaning perhaps alone, perhaps having no friends or family. Perhaps not knowing where to go, perhaps not having the resources that you feel like you need. Being tested, it would be a testing kind of experience. We have all kinds of tests that come upon us. We think we're going to have a nice, calm day, and then something happens in the morning that just throws our whole week out of kilter. That's a test. We have these things happen to us. Now, there's one other part of this description that's very significant. Doesn't mention fast, doesn't describe the tests, but it does say, and the angels waited on him. The angels waited on him. In other accounts, the angels show up after the fasting and take care of him. The point here is they were there to take care of him. He was there without any of his disciples, any of his brothers, anybody else, but he was not alone. He was not abandoned. He may have felt abandoned, especially seeing that the voice said, "You're my beloved son." The next thing that happens is he's driven into the wilderness. He may have felt abandoned, but he was not. So, whatever Lent discipline we may choose to observe, and it may be fasting, it may be more intentional prayer, it may be Bible study, it may be a particular act of service that we choose to undertake for a period of time, it may be abstaining from something other than food, perhaps TV, perhaps. One year I gave up coffee. I never did that again for Lent. It may be giving up video games. We were talking about that earlier. The point being that we can't depend on any of those things. We need food, yes. We need lots of things for life. and lots of things we can do without. We can do without most anything for a period of time. And doing without things can have an effect on us. It may be a cleansing effect. Sometimes people say that fasting makes them feel more alert. It may help to take some stuff out of your system that shouldn't be there. It can be, well done, a healthy experience. The point here is more how it's a spiritually cleansing experience, which it can be. And also, it's a danger. It can be a danger to physical health, but it can also be a danger to spiritual health. Think about being extremely hungry, extremely needy of anything that's a basic need, shelter, clothing, as well as food. And think about how desperate a person can become in those situations. People will do things under the force of hunger and need that they would not normally do. And we have a biblical example of that too. We have the example of Jacob and Esau. Esau came in from the fields. He had been hunting. He had been fasting because he was out there. Fast kind of carries the implication of voluntarily abstaining from food, may or may not be that, but Esau came in, he hadn't been eating for, a day or two, or maybe even three. We don't know how long he was out hunting. He was really hungry, and there's Jacob cooking some stew. Esau says, I've got to have that. I am desperate. I am so hungry. I've got to have some of that stew. I don't care what it costs. He didn't care what it cost. He sold his birthright to Jacob for that. So the very end of this passage says to us that Jesus came to Galilee. Oh, there's one other thing that happens while he's out in the wilderness, and that is that John, his cousin, John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, his forerunner, was arrested. So here we have Jesus coming out of the wilderness, being tested by Satan, being with the wild beasts. John is arrested, and he comes to Galilee proclaiming the good news. How is any of this good news? He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, turn back to God, and believe the good news. And the good news is that in spite of the wilderness, the testing, the wild beasts, and the arrest of a friend, the angels were waiting on him. He was not alone. God was always with him. And God is always with us. We have our times of testing as well. And sometimes we need to be reminded by the absence of all these other things that we depend on, that where our dependence really is on God, and that God is with us in spite of all. Thanks be to God.